Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Greetings. We're so grateful that everybody came to join us tonight on Tuesday night Love Connection Bible Study. Would you please join us as we begin our devotion? We're going to start, and tonight we'll hear from Johnny Goff.
I owe it all to you. I owe it all to you. You're my Savior, you're my guide. I owe it all to you. I owe it all to you. I owe it all to you. You're my Savior, you're my guide. I owe it all. To you. Hallelujah. When in trouble I will lay my head upon thee, sick and weary, broken hearted, I will lay my head upon thee. I give it all, yeah, to you. I give it all to you. All of my worship, all of my praise, I give it all to you.
Amen. I give it all to you. Amen. James, would you lead us in the scripture?
Scripture reading for tonight is 2 Corinthians 5:6-8. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies. For then we will be at home with the Lord.
Amen. Greg.
Heavenly Father, we come, Lord, asking you that you would enlarge our territory, help us to see your word clearly, and then, Lord, manifest yourself to be real to us in our hearts. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're so grateful to have everybody with us tonight as we are here at Your Place Love Connection Bible Study every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this evening we'd like to do a couple of things. First of all, just a little etiquette. If, in fact, that you have a speakerphone, please don't use the speakerphone in the studio. It causes extra sound that conflicts with the noise and the acoustics in the studio. Makes it sound like we have a big echo. And if you like, if you're traveling or if you're walking around or doing something at home, feel free to put your phone on mute so that we don't hear you walking or shuffling papers. We are so glad that you're with us tonight because it helps as we have a great dialogue. And we're here with our studio audience tonight, and we want to make sure that everybody fully gets an understanding of what it means to be ready to go to heaven. And so with that, I'm going to start by asking if we could do a quick roll call so I can get names to know who to call and ask questions tonight. So
I'm Greg Lissman here. This is Greg Lissman.
Thanks, Greg.
Lester Carver.
This is Mark.
Lester, Mark.
Lester Carver.
Okay, Lester. Awesome, awesome. Is there anybody else on the line? If not, we will continue and just go on.
I have a question.
Tonight.
I have a question. Have
sure.
you seen the movie Heaven is Real? That was a real, that was a movie that was taken from a pastor from the Wesleyan Church. His son's experience with going to heaven. And when his son was having an operation, he had an out-of-body experience, and he was able to go to heaven. And when he was in heaven, he saw the relatives that he did not know. He was able to learn of things that they had his mother and father had a miscarriage. He was able to meet their sister there. And there was a number of things that questions and that had to do with what happens on the other side of death. And he was able to answer those things. And his father, the pastor, had problems with trying to deal with that. But he finally was convinced that heaven is real. What do you think about that?
Amen. I think it's an excellent thing to talk about. And if we can take a second and let me do the intro, and then we can go into dialoguing about heaven. Sounds great? Can you hold it for just a second? Greg, you there?
I put it on mute. Okay, I'm listening.
That's okay. That's okay. I know you're being good. Thank you so much. Let me do the intro, then after we do the intro, then we can jump right into that question. And Greg's question was, as we look at heaven, how many of us really fully understand that heaven is real, and what are the questions we might have about the other side of heaven? As we go into this dialogue, I want us to remind us of what we've been reviewing. In the previous weeks, we talked about death, the physical and spiritual death. We understood the spiritual death is separation from God. And not only is it an event, but it's a state. And we discussed that there's no righteous deed that we can do to earn us a place in heaven, that Titus 3:5 says. We come to Christ empty-handed, so we need to RSVP and be prepared to go to heaven. And by admitting that we've sinned, accepting Christ's forgiveness, placing our trust in Christ's death on the cross and resurrection from the dead, and asking Jesus as our Lord to empower us and help us to follow him, for those who know Christ, then this becomes our destiny is heaven. For those who don't know Christ, their destiny is hell. For John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Christ said, no one comes to the Father except through me. And so as we've looked at these stages, as we've understood the steps for understanding death, preparation for heaven, understanding that as we leave this earth, then we go to be with the Lord. James, would you please read that Corinthians passage one more time?
Yeah, just a minute. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord.
Amen. So absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so we come and we have these questions like the one that Greg asked, because today's title is, we want to understand the present heaven, the place where Christians go when they die. He gave us an illustration about a young boy who went to heaven and how people struggle to come up with, is heaven really a place? Well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. In the present heaven, though, I want us to understand that we will joyfully be in Christ's presence, looking forward to our bodily resurrection and permanent relocation in the new heaven and new earth. Now, for me, at the death, as I said earlier, the human spirit goes either to God's presence or separated from God. And Christ, when we as Christians follow Christ, and you know, in the death experience, then we experience an intermediate state, meaning we go to be with the Lord. I believe a transition period occurs between our past lives on earth and our future resurrection to the new heaven and new earth, because it says we go to be immediately with the Lord. Now, as we look at this tonight, I want to ask some questions to you guys. You know, does it seem strange to you that the heaven that we go to is it or isn't it eternal? You know, we know it's a wonderful place, but the present heaven is not the place that God promises for us to live forever. The place where we live forever is the new heaven and the new earth. My question to you all now is that what you've always understood? And if not, what were you taught about heaven? So, Greg brought up the idea. Go ahead.
What I believe that when a person comes to Christ, their spirit is in the process of being renewed day by day. And when we are taken from this life, our spirit is in the presence of God. That's where it is. Now, the body is at rest. When Jesus comes in the at the Advent, see, when he comes, the second Advent, then all the dead in Christ, the bodies, the new bodies, will be resurrected, and the souls will be with those new bodies. And then the dead in Christ will be translated.
Okay.
And,
are there others?
Hold up.
Okay.
Yes.
Are the others who have perspective
yes.
of heaven?
Yes, I do. My perspective goes to John 3:13, where Jesus Christ says that no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And there is a time when we are going to go to heaven, and it's going to be at the return of Jesus Christ. You have to understand that our mind, will, and emotions is what our soul consists of. And to be asleep, to be at rest, to not be conscious is consistent with what it says in Psalm chapter 6 when it speaks of us having no remembrance of God in death and not being able to give thanks to God in death because we are not conscious beings until Christ returns. Because if you were to get to heaven before I got to heaven, God would be a respecter of persons. But we all get to go at the same time. The dead in Christ are raised first, then those of us who are alive will be changed. And that's my understanding of the scripture.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. And is there anybody else who has a different perspective of what they were taught about heaven? Does anybody have the idea that it's only we go to heaven and we're on a cloud and we kind of just relax all day and we play harps? Or, well, I mean, what do you expect?
This is James. I think what I was taught and what I came to understand is different. There wasn't a lot of teaching about heaven other than, I think, the concept of we're going there. If we die and we're in Christ, we're going to go to heaven. There wasn't a lot of teaching about the new heaven and the new earth. I think Christians struggle with understanding what it means to go to heaven and be with God. Paul says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And then there are references to resting, and resting in many cases in Scripture means dying. And we know that our bodies will not be going to heaven because we're going to have new bodies. And we read in 1 Corinthians 15 about that. Our bodies cannot go into heaven. So our new bodies are going to be eternal bodies. And we know that to be in heaven is to be in the presence of God. I remember studying about Revelation and all the description of the streets of gold and the foundations and the walls and the gates and the songs being sung. I'll walk around heaven all day, and there's no place in Scripture where it says we're going to walk around heaven all day that I know of. So the songs theologically are often not theologically correct. And we hear about swing down chariot, stop and let me ride, you know, and there's nothing about that. And I mean, but heaven to me now is the place where we will be with God. And I do believe that heaven is beyond our wildest imaginations. We can't even comprehend what it means to be in the presence of God. We know that we're going to be changed. We're not going to be the same. And we do hear in 1 Thessalonians 4 about the rapture, what we call the rapture, but we are going to be changed, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us that remain will be caught up to meet them in the air. And there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth, as we read in Revelation 21. So where we go now, before that new heaven and new earth, is still heaven, but it's the current heaven. And so there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And there'll be no sun there, no more moon, and the earth sea will not be the same. Everything is going to be changed. Everything that we comprehend and understand now about reality and about space and time will be changed, and we're going to look different. And it's hard for us to comprehend and understand that. You don't hear very many sermons preached about heaven. You don't hear people talk much about it because I think they just we don't understand. We don't know. So we do the best we can in trying to understand it.
Right. And the reason, this is Dr. Susie, and the reason that we attempt to understand heaven is because we don't want to neglect any of the scripture. We want to be able to read it and understand it for the best we can. No, we haven't been to heaven. But the Bible, God gives us the word because God wants us to know about what he leaves behind for us to study. And we need to study and understand that to the best of our ability. And I think with our studying, we can have informative imagination, for lack of a better word, to understand or to be able to take that information and to have a hope as to what it is that we have to look forward to. We can have a hope. We don't have to worry and be fearful about death. And we can even look forward to the time when we understand heaven, that we will be in the presence of God. And to me, if we understand what we can look forward to, then that helps us in how we walk down on this earth. Can somebody read this scripture for me, please? I think it's a Romans text that I said. I think it's Romans 13, 11
yeah.
through 14. Romans 13, 11 through. Someone get that. Romans 13, 11 through 14.
And it says...
Mark, are you there? Do you have... You got it? Okay. Who has it?
I got it. And it says, and do
okay,
this knowing the time. And it says, and do this knowing the time, but now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness or lust, not in strife and not in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust.
Amen. So, Mark, what just reading that briefly, what pieces of that do you pick up on? I'm going to ask everybody kind of what they got from it, but what jumps out at you when you hear that scripture?
When I read that scripture, you know, that when Jesus comes, that it basically it's like it says, that, you know, we put on that armor of light, and then we walk not in drunkenness and not in lewdness, not in our flesh, but in spirit. So I think it speaks more that this light, this armor of light, is us walking in the spirit that he speaks of.
Amen.
This is James.
Anybody else?
Yeah, this is James. I got from it that we need to get ready.
It's
high time that we awaken out of sleep. And I think Satan lulls us into sleep, and we feel good about being asleep and not wanting to get ready. And, you know, our lives, I know my life, I've got time to to live than what I've already lived, so I know that one day I won't be here. And we should be living our lives in such a way that we would be pleasing to God. If we believe and we accept Jesus, we're saved, but we are going to be rewarded according to what we do. So we should be living our lives in such a way that it's pleasing to God now and getting ready for our eternal home and not be so caught up and hung up in this home. And I think it's hard for us to imagine that. Imagine living forever and imagine a place that is not here and a body that is not this body and seeing things totally different. But we should be getting prepared for that existence and not be caught up or lulled into thinking that this is the existence we're going to have forever.
Amen.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have a dialogue that they want to share about this? That's what jumps out at you when you hear that text.
You know, the biggest thing that I see here is clothing ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and denying the flesh and the gratification thereof so that we're not so concerned about what is comfortable, what is convenient, what we think we need. But we look at the assignment and we love the way that Christ loved unto death, where we give our lives to win those who are out in the world, who to bring them into the body of Christ and to be those examples of what it means to truly walk in love, to be able to love the unlovable. Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who spitefully use you, and pray for those who persecute you. That's what Jesus Christ did. And when we get to that point where we wear that, and we wear it with honor, so that when you see a Christian, you see love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control in such a way that you know he's going to heaven. And you don't even have to ask the question. The question you need to ask when you see somebody walking like that is, how can I clothe myself like that? So what we're wearing isn't a bunch of fancy clothes, earth clothes. We're wearing what we're going to wear for eternity because our rewards are there. That's what I think of when I read this.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Greg, did you have anything? Hi, Brad, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Did you have a Greg? Okay.
I'm okay. I'm gonna get to the point. When I have something.
Okay. Okay. Greg, did you have anything you wanted to say?
You know, I have heard this for many, many years when I was coming up, and the only thing that I can tell you is that there has to be a time when we have to put down the bottle, not pick it up. As far as the sex and debauchery and jealousy and everything else that goes with it, everything has its own place, but there comes a time when you have to decide whether you're going to live like God wants you to. And if we're going to call ourselves Christians and really believe in Him, then we have to act like Him. And so that's what I get out of this. We have to really prepare ourselves so that we can strip away anything that would keep us from putting on the clothes that God wants us to have so that when the resurrection comes, we'll be ready for it.
Amen. Well, this is Dr. Susie, and just wanted to put my two cents in. As we know, Paul is being really clear, and he's talking about the end time and the imminent return of Jesus, our Lord. And he's saying to us as well, you know, we need to be vigilant. You know, some of us walk around doing what we want to do, living how we want to live, thinking, well, I have time to get it right. I can do that later. But Christ is saying through Paul, wake up from your sleep. You need to be serious about this. You need to get alert because your salvation is near. The return of the Savior is near. It's the time for now is to be ready, to start getting prepared for the salvation and the final deliverance is at hand. It's close. You know, it talks about the day versus the night, the day being the time when the present time when Christ is absent is described as a night because Satan is at work. He's doing his deeds, and we put aside, Paul is wanting us to put aside the deeds of the darkness, things that are done, as Britt was saying, in this world, things that are not godly, and then to put on the armor, the clothing that Lester's talking about, the clothing of light. The clothing,
Amen.
The armor that looks like a child of God so that we are equipped for battle and we're prepared. See, I think sometimes we're not prepared. We go into battle unprepared because we don't think, old folks used to say fat meat is greasy. We don't think that it's going to be us that dies. We don't know if we're going to get hit by a car. In this case, in the movie that Greg brought up, the little boy died unexpectedly. He got a bacterial infection. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't have a clue. It could be my moment, the moment we get off the Bible study line. But the point is we have to be alert, passionate, ready, just like we're going into battle. You know, how many of us would go into battle half-armed? We wouldn't take our sword. We wouldn't take our shield. We wouldn't be prepared. And God is saying the time is now to be prepared. And so I want to take us to the scriptures that has us prepared about what it's like to move into heaven. So let's talk about quickly 2 Corinthians 5:6-8. James read that. So it says, therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we're home in the body, we're away from the Lord. For we live by faith and not by sight. We're confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. I read through verses 10. So as we look at this text, it's saying that, first of all, the desire is, and it's clear for us to understand when we're talking about heaven, if we're not with the body, then according to this text, then it means that we're with the Lord. So if there are other people who see that as differently, just that text, we're just going to work on that text. Is there anybody else who has something to say about that text before we talk about Ecclesiastes 12:7? If somebody could get that. Ecclesiastes 12:7. And Lester, if you would get Philippians 1:21-24. And Mark, are you there?
I'm here.
I know. Would you get 1 Thessalonians 4:13? We're going to start with Ecclesiastes 12:7. I have that, if no one has that. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, "For then the dust will return to the earth, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." So as we talk about death, to me that's as clear as it can be. It says we do what?
Our bodies are going to return to the earth, and our
that's
spirits
right.
are going to be with God.
Our bodies return to the earth, and the spirit goes to God. So that's one of the things we know about what's going to happen to us when we die. And if anybody wants to jump in, feel free to do
so. The question is, where does the soul go? Because the spirit is one thing, the body is another, and the soul is another. We're body, soul, and spirit, remember?
The word for living soul is nefesh in the Hebrew. It means
nefesh
breath. Time. God breathes.
Yes.
So
Let me finish, Greg.
When the body and the spirit somebody go on mute. So when the body and the spirit became one, the word says they became a living soul. So when we start breathing, the breath is gone, but the soul goes to heaven. Spirit is gone. The soul goes to heaven. The body goes to the earth. And in your understanding, Lester, I understand you believe that the body sleeps. But in the old, and when you look at the definitions of sleep, that's another word for death. So when those individuals die, that body, that same body that dies is going to be resurrected with the Lord, because the spirit immediately goes to be with God. And I know that you don't believe that, but I do. And hold on to that. And we'll get to some more scriptures, and you're free to talk about that, because we're open to hearing what you have to say.
I think what the point Lester is raising is that the spirit and the soul are two different things. And he's I think, talking about soul sleep. And Lester, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but...
No, you're correct. You're correct.
That the spirit goes to God, and I don't think there's any disagreement about that, but Lester's raising the issue, where does the soul go? We understand that the body goes to the earth. Spirit, which is like God breathed into man and he became a living soul. But what God breathed into man was the spirit, and we became a living soul. So the soul is thought of as mind, emotion, will, sort of like the psychological side, and the spirit being the spiritual side of that which is from God and that which will go back to God, the body being that which is physical and dies and goes to the earth. So I think, and this may be another Bible study, but we could probably talk about the soul and the spirit at some time. But I think that's the point that Lester is raising.
I think I can come in now, right?
Yeah, go ahead, Greg.
Okay. From the perspective that I see, the scripture, I was trying to find it in Revelations where it said the souls of those who have departed from this life are under the altar of God in heaven. They are there. that's where the soul goes. Because then Paul had said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So basically what I said, that when the souls of those who have died die, then the soul goes to the soul. The spirit is what makes the soul alive. So the soul of the man, that God, when God breathed into man, he became a living soul. That soul is under the altar of God. Now, Jesus gave a description of the man who was rich, and that as we know it in the story, he had a great funeral, but in hell he lifted up his eyes being tormented in the flame. And on the other side, the poor man that couldn't afford a doctor but had the dogs licking his sores, the angel came and took him, took his body, took him. And then they said that his soul was in the bosom of Abraham. So therefore, everything is pointing to the soul of man being in heaven or being a heavenly place under the altar of God. He's going to be in wherever God is. That's where the soul is going to be, in his presence. Now, on the other hand, I also believe that those who are going to hell will automatically not collect $500, go straight to hell and be tormented in the flame. Lift up their eyes in hell. That's what I believe. So that's why I don't like fire now. I stay away from it. Yeah.
Okay, can we look at the next text and hold those thoughts? Do you have Philippians 1:22-24, Lester?
Yes, ma'am.
Or whoever had that one?
It says.
Okay.
It says, I am to go on
21.
Living in the body. This will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart to be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with you all, with all of you, for your progress and joy in faith, so that through my being with you, again your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me.
For, I think you missed the 21. It says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And then
yes.
You got the 22 piece. Okay. So the focal point in the text talks about, he says, yet what I choose, I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ. So Paul perceives here in Philippians that, again, if he's not in the body, he's with Christ. And so anybody want to talk about how they understand that to be? I think Paul was specifically talking about living to glorify Christ, that Christ would be glorified through even his testimony and death, and Paul would benefit, for death would be the result of him being with Christ. So, and I think that's something for us as well. As we live and walk in this world and struggle, and we do well for Christ, and we do, if whatever we do it to glorify God, then when we die, our death is not in vain. What we struggle with, we can be excited about instead of fearful or sad, is because this is not our home. This earth is not our home. So when we leave this place, we can be excited about the fact that we're going to be with God. And so I think that the apostle was trying to get us to see that if he could go on living, there would be fruit in his labor. But if he had a choice, if Paul had a choice between living or dying for Christ, you know, for him, he was saying his personal desire was to depart and be with Christ. But he knew it was better by far that he continued to do the work that God had in store for him. Anybody
there,
else?
There are other books that are out there that not only talk about an out-of-body experience and going to heaven, but also those who to hell also. So, I mean, you know, I think that just like what we have enough information here on the earth to save us, you know, from having to, you know, if they're saved, there are those who have written a book saying, look, hell is real. And then now we have a movie on TV that says heaven is real. I didn't need the movie or the books to tell me about heaven and hell being real. I just believe it according to the word.
Well, and this is Dr. Susie. I don't know how many of you have heard that about the neuroscientist who actually died. He was a specialist, a brain specialist. And he encountered a meningitis, and he immediately went into a form of brain death after 24 hours or so. And he talks about his near-death experience that he did not believe in. He was a Catholic, but his faith was not well developed, and he didn't believe in this stuff because he felt science had informed him otherwise. But as he has come back from this experience, he talks about how he went into a different realm. He talks about his near-death experience was when he went into this other world, which he talks about. And he talks about orbs of light being people that he could recognize and how he interacted there, and then how he, when people had given up on him, and they did because, you know, for us, brain death is the end of is what we call a cessation. That's it. When you have brain death, they had given up on him. But even though he had brain death, they waited for a while because he was a renowned neuroscientist, and they were waiting on his family to give him the okay to let it go. But he came back from that, which was unbelievable, according to science. And not only did he come back from that, you know, just experience, but he came back, he wasn't a vegetable, he was able to talk, he was able to teach about this, and he believed that God wanted him to come back for his science friends, for people who were strongly believing in science to say, it's not against science, it works along with science. Heaven is real. And so I guess that's the exciting thing about all this, is that we can understand that heaven is real, and we can look forward to going there. Anybody else? Let's look at the next text. 1 Thessalonians 4:13.
Okay, say 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope.
Amen. Did you read 4:13? Okay. Let's talk about that. What did you get from that, brother? I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
It's a little bit more difficult just to take one scripture out of context, but what I get from
that.
Well,
go ahead and read the whole thing if you want to. Read more if you need to. Go ahead. 13 through 18, if it would be a good text. Let me read the whole thing. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen in the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. But since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. we who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who still are alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. Is that enough for you?
Yeah, that's enough. And it tells me, you know, if we're still here on earth when God comes, that he's going to raise those who have died, and then we will all go to heaven together. And I think the separation of a conversation deals with, are we talking about the souls of men that are at peace, or are we talking about the spirit, which I think most agree will go directly to heaven after one has passed away. And so that's what I get out of that scripture.
Okay.
What I get out of this is basically what I was saying before, that here it is,
Greg.
When Jesus Christ comes back, he's coming from heaven, and he's bringing the souls of those who are departed in this life. He's bringing those souls with him. You see, and that's where another account where Paul speaks about the souls of those who had departed this life. Says that Jesus is bringing those from heaven with him to the earth, and then the sea and everything is going to give up their dead, and the bodies will be translated or transformed or renewed. However, we're going to have a new body. And then the dead in Christ that are alive and remain will be translated and caught up to be with him in the clouds together. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what Paul was saying.
And this is James. I wanted to just say that the reason why Paul wrote this in that 13th verse, and he says, to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. So Paul was trying to give the believers hope. This was a time when they were being persecuted, Christians were being killed, believers were having a hard time, and Paul is trying to encourage them and let them know that there's a better day. And we should also have hope. And working as a chaplain and seeing people die every day, I've changed my concept of death. And I see many people just saying, why is God leaving me here? I want to go home to be with God. I want to be with God. And that ought to encourage us. And we shouldn't feel bad about death. Because it's not a better place.
We have about 3 minutes left. Can we do the final scripture and we'll come back to that if we have time? Can someone read Revelation 21, 1 and 2? We're at 7:52. So can someone read Revelation 21, 1 and 2?
I've got it. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband.
Okay. This is Dr. Susie, and it says to us, if we believe what Paul was saying, for those of us who don't believe in soul sleep, for those of us who believe that the body died and went back to the dust, that the soul went to be with the Lord and was with the Lord, then for those of us who believe that the soul is with the Lord, then that is they're in a heaven with God. That's an intermediate state. and the transitional period is between our past lives on earth and this future time when it talks about the new heaven and the new earth. So there, this is a different type of understanding, because many times we believe that, you know, we're just going to go be with God and we're going to be there happily, walk around heaven all day with the streets of gold and sit at Jesus' feet. But there's a time that comes later when we have the resurrected bodies. That won't come until death is finally overcome. And when death is destroyed, we get the new bodies, the new bodies that join with the souls, and we live in those bodies in the new heaven and the new earth. And we can talk about that again. So if there's somebody else who wants to talk about that, we got about a couple of minutes, we can still talk about that.
I have a real quick question.
Who's talking? Is that Mark?
This is Mark.
Okay.
I have a real quick question where it says the dead in Christ shall rise at that point in time. So are we talking soul? Are we talking spirit? Are we talking what are we talking in regard to the dead in Christ shall rise at that time, recognizing that our bodies have gone to dust and all that's left is our soul and our spirit?
We're talking about a bodily resurrection, Mark. It's a bodily resurrection, okay? Even though this body will decay and go back to the dust, and all those bodies are in the sea, everything is, you know, death has got the death in the grave will be cast into the lake of fire. That's what it's saying. But before that happens, everything that's in them will be had to be given up. So, yes, we're talking about when Jesus comes back, it will be a bodily resurrection.
I want to read this right quick. It's 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to try to read it real quickly and see if it gives us a little bit more information. And whatever we don't, we'll pick up on it again next week. 1 Corinthians 15:34, 35, it says, "But some may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? What a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you are planting. Then God gives it the new body he wants it to have. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. Similarly, there are different kinds of flesh, and one kind of humans, another for animals, another for birds and for fish. There are also bodies in the heaven and bodies on the earth. The glory of the heavenly bodies is different from the glory of the rest. The sun has one kind of glory. Anyway, it goes on the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever." So if that helps a little bit, Mark, I'm talking about how the body is to be raised. Can we have closed with prayer? We only have a few minutes, and we will pick it up next week where we left off. James, would you close us in prayer, please?
Dr. Susie, before you start, can I say one thing?
Yes,
this is
sure.
Correct? Yeah, I think we need to have prayer for Joan Rivers. They've taken her off of life support. I mean, she's on life support and taken her out of the coma.
Okay.
So she's going to need our prayer.
Okay. So we're praying for Joan Rivers. Is there other prayer requests that are immediate that we could lift up as well? All right, James, would you offer prayer?
God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. Let us know that we are your children. We need your word. We need to be informed. God, we seek to be closer and closer and closer to you. So we invite your presence in our lives. We ask for anything that's a barrier to get out of the way. God, we lift up those that are sick. We lift up Joan Rivers, God, and we lift up others that are on life support and getting off life support, those that are near death, those that are in trouble, those that are in need of a change, those that are in need of financial blessings, those that are in need of blessings and relationships. God, we give them over to you right now, believing all things are possible. Lord, we need your strength. We need your guidance.
Yes,
we go astray, God, and we don't have the strength to make it. But we reach out to touch the hem of your garment, God, realizing that virtue will come out and we need your virtue right now. God, bless all those that are on the Bible study this evening. Help us, God, to do your will. There is so much to be done. Help us to awaken out of sleep. God, we give our lives over to you. We give ourselves away. God, we need you. We need your strength and your power. Help us, God, and help us to realize how important it is that we spread your word and that we live a life, that we put on the armor, that we put on the dress of light, that we let people see the love of God in us. Use us for your purpose.
Yes.
And we thank you, God, for everything that you are in our lives. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we humbly pray. Amen.
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 Love you guys.
Okay, love you guys too.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.